Welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In this episode, we go over the topic of hemochromatosis from the gastrointestinal section on medbullets.com. Let's start this episode with a clinical snapshot. A 42-year-old woman with a history of polycystic ovarian syndrome and diabetes presents to her primary care physician's office for abdominal pain. She reports that she has experienced this for the past few months. On physical exam, her skin is noted to be hyperpigmented. She also has hepatomegaly. Given these findings, her physician sends her for laboratory testing, which shows elevated transaminases, iron, and ferritin. She is scheduled for regular phlebotomy. This is a case of hemochromatosis. Let's now get into the topic. Let's start with an introduction about hemochromatosis. In terms of a clinical definition, hemochromatosis is a disease of iron accumulation characterized by the classic triad of cirrhosis, diabetes mellitus, and skin pigmentation. With respect to the epidemiology and demographics, it occurs in people over the age of 40. It is detected in men earlier than in women because women lose iron through menstruation. With respect to the etiology, there can be hereditary hemochromatosis and secondary causes such as repeated blood transfusions. With respect to the pathogenesis, an increase in intestinal absorption of iron leads to iron overload. Iron accumulation in organs causes end organ damage. With respect to the genetics, this condition is autosomal recessive and involves the HFE gene mutation on chromosome 6. This mutation can be a C282Y mutation or an H63D mutation. This condition is associated with HLA-A3. Let's now discuss the clinical presentation of hemochromatosis. With respect to symptoms, you would notice cirrhosis, diabetes mellitus, hyperpigmentation of the skin, arthropathy, hypogonadism, systemic symptoms, and heart failure. The cirrhosis would present with abdominal pain, hepatomegaly, jaundice, spider angioma, and palmar erythema. The hyperpigmentation of the skin is found in late-stage disease and is called, quote, bronze diabetes. The arthropathy is from calcium pyrophosphate deposition in metacarpophalangeal joints. The hypogonadism would present with gynecomastia and lack of body hair. And systemic symptoms include weakness and fatigue. Let's now discuss diagnostic studies used to diagnose hemochromatosis. Diagnostic testing can involve imaging and other studies. Imaging involves the use of magnetic resonance imaging or MRI of the liver to evaluate iron load. Other studies include liver biopsy, increase in liver enzymes, iron studies, and genetic testing for HFE mutation. In terms of the liver biopsy, Prussian blue stain detects iron deposition in hepatocytes. Iron studies would show an increase in transferrin saturation to greater than 45%, increase in ferritin, increase in iron, and decrease in TIBC. The genetic testing for HFE mutation confirms the diagnosis. With respect to the diagnostic criteria, this is based on clinical history and exam with an increase in transferrin saturation or ferritin. In terms of a differential diagnosis, the two main differentials to keep in mind here are non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD, and Vibrio vulnificus infection. The distinguishing factor for NAFLD is that increased ferritin levels are also found in NAFLD, but transferrin saturation levels are normal and imaging will not show increased iron deposition in the liver. The distinguishing factors for Vibrio vulnificus infection is that this is associated with hemochromatosis and bullous skin lesions, and that it is associated with the exposure to seafood. Let's now discuss the treatment of hemochromatosis. The first-line treatment involves the use of regular phlebotomy and iron chelation therapy. The indication for regular phlebotomy is to maintain ferritin levels between 50 and 100 micrograms per liter. Iron chelation therapy involves the use of deferoserox, deferoxamine, and deferiprone. Second-line treatment involves liver transplantation, and the indication of liver transplantation is decompensated cirrhosis. Let's now discuss the complications of hemochromatosis. The two main complications are hepatocellular carcinoma and cardiomyopathy. Note that patients should undergo regular screening for hepatocellular carcinoma and that cardiomyopathy is frequently dilated versus restrictive. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. First question, a 48-year-old man presents to his primary care physician with a 6-month history of increasing joint pain and stiffness. He says that the pain is primarily located in his knees and occurs in sharp bursts that are accompanied by redness and warmth. His past medical history is significant for diabetes, though he is not currently taking any medications. He also suffers from occasional diarrhea with fatty stools. Physical exam reveals mild swelling and redness in his knees bilaterally. Furthermore, he is found to be very tan despite the fact that he says he stays out of the sun. He notes that he has always been significantly more tan than anyone else in his family. This patient is most likely predisposed to which of the following diseases? 1. Basal cell carcinoma. 2. Hepatocellular carcinoma. 3. Osteosarcoma. 4. Pancreatic adenocarcinoma. Or 5. Squamous cell skin carcinoma. And the correct answer choice is answer choice 2, hepatocellular carcinoma. This patient with hyperglycemia, skin bronzing, joint pain, and malabsorption most likely has hemochromatosis, which would predispose him to develop hepatocellular carcinoma. Remember, hemochromatosis is a disorder of iron transport that leads to excessive iron deposition in tissues. It tends to present in the 5th decade of life in men, or 10 to 20 years postmenopause in women. The iron deposited ectopically in tissues leads to damage because iron generates free radicals over time. Symptoms of this disease include malabsorption secondary to destruction of the exocrine pancreas, diabetes secondary to destruction of the endocrine pancreas, arthritis secondary to chondrocalcinosis, and skin hyperpigmentation. Over time, significant damage to the liver can lead to cirrhosis as well as hepatocellular carcinoma. Let's now review the incorrect answer choices. Answer choice 1, basal cell carcinoma, can be predisposed in patients with excessive exposure to ultraviolet light. However, this patient's tan is most likely secondary to his underlying hemochromatosis. Answer choice 3, osteosarcoma, can be predisposed by calcium and bone diseases such as Paget disease. However, this patient's arthritis is most likely secondary to his underlying hemochromatosis. Answer choice 4, pancreatic adenocarcinoma is predisposed in patients with inflammation of the pancreas and in patients with endocrine disorders. However, this patient's underlying problem is more likely hemochromatosis. And finally, answer choice 5, squamous cell skin carcinoma can be predisposed in patients with excessive exposure to ultraviolet light. However, this patient's tan is most likely secondary to his underlying hemochromatosis. In summary, hemochromatosis presents with bronze diabetes and can predispose to hepatocellular carcinoma. Next question, a 63-year-old woman enrolls in a research study evaluating the use of iron studies to screen for disease in a population of postmenopausal women. Per study protocol, past medical history and other identifying information is unknown. The patient's iron studies return as follows. The serum iron level is 200 micrograms per deciliter, where the normal range is between 50 and 170 micrograms per deciliter. The TIBC is 220 micrograms per deciliter, where the normal range is between 250 and 370 micrograms per deciliter. The transferrin saturation is 91%, where the normal range is between 15 and 50%. The normal ferritin level is 180 micrograms per liter, where the normal range is 15 to 150 micrograms per liter. And the erythrocyte protoporphyrin level is 35 micrograms per deciliter, where the normal range is between 16 and 65 micrograms per deciliter. Which of the following is the most likely cause of these findings? 1. Chronic inflammation. 2. Excess iron absorption. 3. Iron deficiency. 4. Lead poisoning. Or 5. Pregnancy. And the correct answer choice is answer choice 2, excess iron absorption. This patient's iron studies are consistent with hemochromatosis. Hemochromatosis is due to excess iron absorption in the intestines. Hemochromatosis causes excess iron absorption and subsequent deposition in nearly all tissues. The disease is autosomal recessive and has a slow course. It is much more common in men and typically presents in the fifth decade. In affected women, the disease typically presents between 10 and 20 years postmenopause. Iron studies reveal increased serum iron, markedly increased transferrin saturation, increased ferritin, and decreased TIBC. Of note, transferrin saturation is the ratio of iron over TIBC times 100. In this patient, that is 200 over 220. Let's now review the incorrect answer choices. Answer choice 1, chronic inflammation causes anemia of chronic disease. Labs will show a decreased iron and TIBC, but an elevated ferritin. Answer choice 3, iron deficiency causes iron deficiency anemia. Serum iron and transferrin saturation are decreased. Answer choice 4, lead poisoning causes sideroblastic anemia. Lead poisoning produces similar iron studies to hemochromatosis, though ferritin is often within the normal range and transferrin saturation is less drastically elevated. Also, erythrocyte protoporphyrin levels would likely be elevated. And finally, answer choice 5, pregnancy, is incorrect because this patient is too old for pregnancy, though pregnancy would produce an increase in TIBC and a decrease in transferrin saturation. And that's all for this review about hemochromatosis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session by MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on MedBullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the MedBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from these MedBullets Step 1 podcasts so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you are not already, be sure to follow MedBullets on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.